And welcome back to another episode of The Morgue. So this is episode 3, and today I am planning to do at least 2 more episodes, including this one, because this one's more of a short one. There isn't much background to the murderer, nor is there any to the victims, really. So I'm just going to gather as much information as I can and put it into this episode. I already know of this case, if I'm honest. I've heard it before, the name, the victims, the whereabouts. So, to be honest, none of this surprises me at all right now. The next episode I will, you know, be doing another one, but this time it will probably be a haunting one. I do prefer doing like supernatural ones as well, probably because I'm more fluent in those types of areas. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this one. I'm not going to rush it just because it's a short one, but I'm just going to do what I usually do, explain it all, and then get on with it. So the murderer we're talking about today is Tom. Well, his full name is Tom Lionel Burns. He's around age 71 right now, I think. I don't know if he's actually dead yet. And basically, he lived in 32 York Street, Barrow, in England. I'm pretty sure that is in England. That's where I heard it was originally from. Let me have a check. Barrow, England. I'm pretty sure.
You could just say that it's in England, really.
So, carrying on. Now, 2 girls had gone missing on the 11th of June, 1958. These 2 girls were called Sheila Barnes and, I'm pretty sure they were both 5 years old, but Lavinia Murray. I don't know if I'm saying the first name wrong. I probably am, so please forgive me. They were both 5 years old, and how it happened was that they had gone into his house after hearing music being played and then killed them both. Not only did he kill them, but he did actually sexually assault them. That was before killing them, but after he sexually assaulted them, he killed them and then cut parts off of them that he cooked and ate. Now, because the girls had gone missing on the 11th of June 1958, the afternoon of 12th of June, a policeman called at 32 York Street, but there was no reply. He called again in the evening and Tom Burns opened the door and answered. The policeman asked if he could help in their inquiries regarding the missing children, and Tom Burns said he couldn't. He said, by quote, "No, I'm sorry, I cannot, and I only wish I could. It's a bad business." The police asked if he had any outhouses that were not used regularly, and Tom Burns said he had one but had checked it and no one was in there. The police asked if he had been out all night before, pardon me, and Tom Burns replied with a no, adding that he had gone to bed at 5 p.m. He also said that he knew someone was calling earlier in the afternoon, but he was lying down at the time due to his bad health. The policeman then left him, asking him to call him if he found anything out. Now, from this moment, the policeman was probably not really saying anything to this man after mentioning about his bad health. Also, around this time, I guess that, you know, it weren't expected of Tom to had murdered kids. The date of his sentence was actually the 21st of October, 1959. So if it's 2020 right now, take 1958. Sorry, that'd be 62. So 60. Yes, 1958. So he would have been, wow, that's like a, that's a gap of like 62 years. So, yeah, I think I'm working this out wrong, but that was when he was, obviously, date of the sentence that it probably started. So I don't really know his actual age, except from that right now he's probably around 71, or maybe at the time he was 71 and that's when he was detained at the age of 71. So I'm not sure about that. I can't actually find that information, nor can I find his background. But we're just going to carry on. So the next day, another policeman called again at 32 York Street at around like 25 past 10 in the morning and asked to come in. And Tom Burns let him in, inviting him to the kitchen. The policeman asked him about the girls and Tom Burns said, "Yes, I heard about it. Isn't it terrible? I think someone has taken them away in a car." So for him to say this, like, it's pretty risky for someone to basically try and attempt to call a fake person out, an imaginary person, and what I'm trying to say. Clearly his, how would I put it? Clearly his mind is trying to make this other policeman think, oh, well, if he's saying, like, this is a suspicion, but like a more of a fake suspicion, because he's using his, well, not really, he's just using his, not guilt, not regret either, but he's using his knowledge in a way, and rebelling against that by saying, "I think someone has taken them away in a car," to try and make this policeman think that he hasn't. But clearly, because this policeman is in his house, he's going to ask further questions, because it's probably been about, well, it's probably been about a full day now. So the policeman asked if any children had called its home, and Tom Burns said no, and that he lived alone and kept the house locked up. I don't blame him. Like, if he was 71 at the time, then clearly he, or maybe less clearly, he would have had to lock the house up all the time. He's quite a vulnerable target. So, policeman asked if he could look in the backyard, and Tom Burns said, "There is no need to. I've been in the shed and no one's in there." Now, the policeman then went into the shed, followed by Tom Burns. In the shed, there was a recent excavation, sorry, and the policeman asked him what it was for. Tom Burns pointed to some hyacinth bulb, on the ground nearby, and said that they had gone rotten and he was going to put new ones in. Clearly, he thought this out pretty well, so congrats to him on that. Now, when the policeman went back into the house and asked if he could look in the bedrooms, Tom Burns immediately replied with a no, he couldn't. Now, the policeman asked why, and Tom Burns said, "For sentimental reasons." So the policeman then asked if he had been up there recently, and Tom Burns said that he hasn't been in the bedroom for weeks. Now, if he hasn't been in bedroom for weeks, then where's he been sleeping? I just want to call that out. Where's he been sleeping? Has he told the other officer that he went to bed at 5 p.m? Maybe there's a bedroom down the stairs. I wouldn't know how the house layout is. But maybe, you know, it's Pretty much lying to another police officer. So clearly this one's more stern. I think that he knows something. He's got like a feeling that something isn't right. So the policeman asked why he objected to him going upstairs, and Tom Burns said, "Whatever you say, you are not going up. It's in a mess. It would be all right if my wife was here, but she's in Roos." So the policeman asked if he was hiding something upstairs, and Tom Burns replied with, "No, I cannot let you go up." The policeman said, "I'm going upstairs to have a look." And Tom Burns replied with, "You are not." Right. It's either, which I already know, by the way, but for those who don't know this, it's either he's got evidence up there that shows that the children were recently here, or that they are upstairs, or that there's no other choice for this, really. The policeman went upstairs, and he noticed the despair in Tom Burns' voice as he said, "I'm buggered now." If you don't really know what that means, it just basically means that he's like quite doomed. He's done now. There's no getting him a bit of magic and just whispering them away. When the policeman got upstairs, he saw the bodies of two children lying on a wicker basket and a mattress. Wow. So clearly, for them to be lying on a wicker basket, if you didn't know what it is, it's now imagine Dorothy going down the yellow brick road, and she's got like that kind of basket, whether it's a bit like that. Some people use it for like classic picnic baskets in a way, but yeah, that's what it is really. And they'd been mutilated. The policeman ran down the stairs, and Tom Burns said, "I feel ill, let me sit down." He then said, "Sex made me do them in." Just, wow. What, right? If you didn't know already, they had the court justified him as they justified him as being what's the word for it? They do have like words for it. Well, I think it's the jury. Yeah, the jury that like bringing all the votes. They found him to be insane and unfit for carrying on in any bit of the trial. Now, Tom Burns then said, "I was playing the piano when they came in. I showed them how to play. They came in here and I undressed them. I was sitting in this chair. They laughed when I felt their bottoms. I don't know what came over me, but I picked a knife up off the table and I just cut the ginger girl's throat. The other one laughed at me. She was standing there. I cut her throat." In his statement, he said that he felt their bottoms and their private parts and kissed them. He said that he tried to put his privates into them, but it wouldn't work. He said he then took them upstairs. Then he couldn't remember if he had sexual intercourse with them after they were dead. Right, he couldn't remember. Okay, calm down. He said that on the second day, he cut off one of the girl's feet, which was he was going to roast and eat. So now, after his arrest, he began to say that a man called Jose Fothergill, who had been staying with him, carried out the murders, and that he'd gone to London and then the West Indies, where he was going to manage a farm with his brother. However, his story kept on changing with each telling, with Jose Fothergill, I don't know if I'm saying that right, having gone to Ulverston. In the house, they had found a plate with the remains of a meat dish, which tested positive for human blood, indicated that he had eaten parts of the girls. They also found buckets that tested positive for blood that had been recently painted and were still wet, as well as a dishcloth. This is pretty much cannibalism right now. Like, this is over dramatically, well, not over dramatically, but this is quite a bit of cannibalism. So he had cut off the foot and attempted to amputate the leg at the knee of Sheila Barnes. She had numerous injuries, including swollen eyes, indicated that she'd been crying when she died. Her throat was cut and her vagina had been cut at its lower part. The remaining part of her vagina was severely bruised and the tissues lacerated by stretching. This is probably because he hasn't admitted to intercourse yet, but right now it does seem that he did do intercourse with them after they died. He'd also carved out two large steak-sized chunks of meat from her upper and lower leg muscles. The cause of death was shocking hemorrhage to the vagina and a cut throat. So, Lavinia Murray had almost been decapitated. Her vagina had been lacerated and stretched, with lacerations extending into the rectum. She died from having her throat cut. Now, I don't know if the ginger girl was Lavinia. I can check. Lavinia Murray. Let's see if I can get pictures, because that then would help me. No, I mean, certainly can't find anything that tells me. Yeah, there's no pictures around here that tells me whether she was ginger or not. So both girls had most of their blood drained. The genital injuries were probably caused by forced sexual intercourse after death, and the incised wounds to the vagina caused by a knife. Whilst under supervision, he claimed persecution by the police, saying that they would cut your throat to get money, and said other prisoners were standing outside his cell until midnight calling him names, and he could not sleep because of work being done on the central heating pipes. He also made up stories such as having been driving since he was 11 years old in 1898, and that he, his mother, had an accident with a window falling on her when she was pregnant, resulting in him being born without a straight bone in his body. So that's why he's quite slumped to the side. He also said that he didn't start or walk or talk until 8 years of age, and that by 12 he had left school and was cleaning steam cars and used to drive them up and down the yard. He said he'd been captain in the army, and that in 1958 he'd received a letter to Captain T.L. Burns, but was afraid to open it, so he steamed it open. He said it was an invitation to leave immediately for Aldershot so he could train 13 regiments of soldiers, but he was found unfit to plead and was ordered to be detained back during Her Majesty's pleasure. Now, right now, you know, I can tell you about the sentence. So, this was a homicide. Characteristics: psychotic, cannibalism, rape and mutilation. Number of victims: 2. Date of murders: June 11th, 1958. Date of birth: so his date of birth was 1887. Victims profile: Sheila Barnes, Lavinia Murray, both 5. Method of murder: stabbing with knife and strangulation. Located in Barrow, Cumbria, England, United Kingdom. The jury found him to be insane and unfit for the rest of the trial, and was ordered to be detained by will join Her Majesty's pleasure on October 21st, 1958. Now, trying to find anything that missed. Right, so this is when the murder house went on sale. Now, Thursday the 7th of June 2007, the two-bedroom mid-terrace at 32 York Street Barrow was the scene of the horrific double murder of the little girls in June 1958. 70-year-old chauffeur Tom Lionel Burns was accused of the murders but was later deemed insane and unfit for trial. Now, Cumbrian Properties is marketing the house as a traditional-style tourist property in need of full modernisation, with a price of almost $60,000, but it is $59,950. A similar York Street property was sold for $74,350 in February. Now, one potential buyer, who does not want to be named, said he pulled out of putting an offer forward after a neighbour told him about its history. He said, Who would want to live there knowing the story of it? It's like Fred West's house, though that got knocked down. But current owner Joanna Hartley said the house's history should not have an impact on the sale. She says she thought the murders took place at another York Street house before she bought it 2 years ago. She said, quite honestly, we were told that it was not this property. Even if it was, it's the living people I worry about. It's not the dead ones. So, Cumbrian Properties declined to comment on the house's history, but a spokeswoman said the estate agent had no knowledge of the murders. But another former neighbour living in York Street at the same time told the Evening Mail, "It's that long ago, I don't think people remember it. I was shocked as I knew the two young lasses." Someone else said, Tommy Burns was a southerner. He had a hunchback. He used to play the piano quite a lot. I'm sure I can recall that night I could hear someone on the piano. I knew the police were very upset. When Burns was arrested, residents threw bricks through his windows and more than 100 turned up for one court hearing. The details were deemed so graphic, many left the public gallery before it began. The bodies of the two girls were found naked in one of the bedrooms of York Street property on June 13th, 1958, after they had been missing for 2 days. Post-mortem examination showed that they died after being attacked with a knife. At the time, a police officer claimed Burns said, "Sex made me do them in." Burns failed to enter a plea when he went on trial for the two murders at Lancaster Assizes in October 1958. The jury found him to be insane and unfit for trial. That's all I really know on Tom. There's nothing much I can say about him now. I've talked to the only thing that we can't really find about his background is that he's like he's growing up. We don't know if we can confirm the fact that his mother was attacked by glass while she was pregnant. We don't know if we don't really know if he we probably do know that he was born without a bone in his body, to be honest. That's very true. What we don't know is whether he's insane to this day, really. We don't know when he died. Let me see if I can check for his death again. Because I don't remember seeing his death. Yeah, I haven't seen it, so that's all I've really got for this specific episode. It's quite short, probably because it's not as like not famous, but it's not, I'm not going to say that it wasn't a really big case. It was a big case. I bet that people were expecting more, considering that they probably didn't think he was insane or unfit. But obviously the jury led him through the fact that he was unfit. So I'm guessing that he probably lived out the rest of his days in a what's it called, like a psycho ward or something. So that's all I really know, or that I can really search up, because there's not much of his background nor any of the children's background. Obviously they are minors, they were minors, sorry. So yeah, that's all I can say. So make sure you join me for next episode, and I'll be happy to go through another supernatural haunting. And then after that, it will be another true crime story. I'm aiming to go more towards probably, I don't actually know, to be honest. Maybe Pedro Lopez, Harold Shipman, maybe Samuel Little, Jack the Ripper. I really want to do Jack the Ripper one day, but I'm thinking I might as well do that in parts, because I don't want to go too fast on it, because it is quite a lot of details. I did study it in history as well, so I did really enjoy that. I didn't enjoy the deaths of like Mary Chapman or anything like that, or Annie or whatever. It was just like learning it all, because like I said, I'm really into crime. Hoping to take criminology when I get into college. Maybe do online courses, because I know that courses in college are really hard to get for criminology around where I am. So that's all I can really say for now. So yeah, thank you for listening. Make sure you come back to the morgue. My Instagram is Crime and Ghosts. If you're interested in me retelling the story of any other serial killer, please DM me, because I'm always looking for more. I have a list on my phone of potential ones I want to do next. So that's all I have to say. So thank you, and I hope you have a good day.